We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
The only podcast in your feed that rocks. This is Podcast Envy. Now, here's Bacon, Tim, and Brian.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. It's Podcast Envy.
He said my name.
That was fantastic.
Wow.
I almost sounded like an afterthought. Now, here's Bacon, Timmy, and Brian.
Well, that's our new theme. What do you guys think?
I think it sounds amazing.
Hell yeah, dude. We're the only podcast that rocks.
That's right.
Yeah!
Nobody else can take that from us.
Where are we at now? Have we checked the polls? Have we grown from, what were we at before, 5 or 6?
I have not checked
the 10.
The spout feed. Wait, that's not it. It's something.
We'll edit this later.
It's HubSpot feed. Yep, that's what it is. That's what we're going to call it anyway.
Until we punch in later. Feed.
It's so weird. I can't think of the name of it. I think it is HubSpot something. Shit. Oh, well.
HubSpot.
Yeah.
I love the faces. That's great. You'll see them later, Bacon.
Okay.
It's my camera. Yeah.
It's weird having you all over there and there's nobody sitting there. For is all it, the people
is it that weird?
Listening.
It's weird looking at you with a Podcast Envy shower drape.
Yeah, we've got
you.
A new shower curtain.
It doesn't look like a shower. Don't tell me it looks like a shower curtain. Come on.
Well,
it's kinda. Made of cloth.
The creases kind of sell it.
Yeah, I know, right?
We need to took it right out of the bag.
It was supposed to be steamed today, but that didn't work.
Somebody forgot their Stanley steamer.
But yeah, man, instead of doing the green screen, I use a little bit less compute power when I'm creating the videos without a green screen. So.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
pretty crisp.
Yeah.
I'm glad that the image was, you know, good enough. The quality was high enough.
Hell yeah. Very happy with the way it turned out.
When we do a live episode at SRI or wherever else, I mean, we could bring this with us and, you know, prop a couple lights up in the corner and just sit there and jam out.
Yeah, we are doing a live podcast coming up here soon. I need to iron out the details with the SRI folks, and I need to book some guests for that. I think we're going to have a couple guests with us. I think we'll do like a 2-hour event.
Love it.
And we'll come up with like games. We'll play games with the guys, like kind of have line up like against the backdrop and have 3 of them sitting here and we're sitting across from them and we can play games and stuff like that. I think that'll be fun.
Maybe they could play some live music.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Mm. Yeah. Good ideas.
Yeah. So if you have any other feedback for our ideas for our show, hit us up at feedback@podcastenvy.com.
Yes. And tell us about the intro if you like that too.
Mm-hmm. What about it?
No, if they liked it.
Talking about the feedback.
Oh, you telling them. Yeah. Yes. I thought you were talking about
a new intro. But yeah, so, you know, while on topic, for those that don't know, Bacon does a lot of the creative engineering behind the show.
Yep.
Now we talk about it often to kind of throw in some details here and there, but for the most part, Bacon is kind of the big brain, behind the operation.
Mm-hmm.
So what were you thinking? Because we've gone, this is our 3rd or 4th iteration now of an intro. I want to say solid 3rd.
It definitely is the 3rd. Yeah.
Okay.
Because the first one, I don't know if I put this over the pod or not, but there was a local water park that was using the same song.
Yeah.
So I was like, oof, that's not going to work.
Gotta move on.
We can't be a kick-ass podcast with a freaking theme song from a water park. So then I got like the hip-hoppy one that sounds hip-hoppy, kind of like dancey. Yeah. And, at my roots, I'm more of a rock and roll guy. And I just kind of got tired of that theme song. I think the podcast, we've done like almost 75 episodes. So it's about time for us to kind of... Yeah.
We're almost 2 years in.
Yeah.
This November, I think, 2 years ago this November will be when we started recording.
Yeah. And that just feels like a couple of days ago. It's so crazy that it's been 2 years.
this whole space has dramatically changed, and we've been doing video since and all this.
All the different guests.
Yeah.
Yep. And some repeats.
Yeah, I was going to say, and some repeats.
That's right.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's a little rock and roll. It kind of reminds me of your plunger days. I mean, I think it's great.
I just kind of wanted to give the show kind of like a little bit, like a breath of fresh radio personality. Like, I kind of want people to be like, I'm on the drive home or I'm on the way to work. Let's put on the podcast and listen to it. So it's kind of like fun and energetic. We talk about topical stuff.
Yeah.
Cool bit of feedback I've heard from a couple different artists that we've had here on for interviews and other people in general, but specifically artists, because I love to hear that, you know, people are listening to us after having been on the show and whatnot. But they've told me that on the way to their gigs or on their way home, that they're listening to episodes on the podcast.
Nice.
And I've been told we don't have enough episodes that they're running out of episodes to listen to.
Oh, man. We'll have to start recording more frequently, I guess. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome, though.
That is pretty sweet.
It's a great feeling.
Yeah, you actually got an email from somebody out in the wild. Do you mind sharing that with us?
Yeah, as I do kind of running Revelry Media, I'm always reaching out to new artists to kind of increase the circle of, you know, artists to work with, just in case for dates or, you know, a venue or, you know, a private event might have a certain need that I'm, you know, trying to just have options. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to this band, Duck Chuck Goose, and they sounded great. I don't even remember how I got turned on to them. I think it was, you know, maybe they were on some roster and I just saw it and I just checked them out and I was like, oh, these guys are awesome. So I emailed them and I'm like, hey, if you guys are interested, you know, I'd book between here and Maryland, parts of DC and Delaware. And they were like, yeah, we totally know about you guys. Radio Envy, right?
Yeah,
and
that's awesome.
They were like, yeah, we've even been listening to the podcast. You guys are awesome. They particularly liked the interview that we had with Matty D, which I'm pretty sure he was one of our first interviewees.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was like completely unexpected and really cool. And I immediately sent it over to you guys so that we could all share and revel in the excitement.
Oh, yeah, man. When I read that, I was like, man, that's such a satisfying thing to find out that strangers are out there listening.
Yeah.
I mean, I see the numbers, but it's, you know, nice to put like a face.
Right.
To
get that feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should have them on.
We should.
We should have them on. Yeah.
You've got the list. We're just adding to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of feedback, do you want to hear some listener feedback?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
All right. First, we have two of them today.
Okay.
First one. Hey, podcast Envy crew. Just finished the Kerry OC episode, and wow, what a solid interview. His stories about playing everywhere from Blacksburg to DC really resonated. You could tell he's got miles of experience and miles of heart. Well, what a nice thing to say.
Was it signed by Kerry?
There's actually more.
Oh, there's more to
it. But wait, I'd love to hear more from Kerry. Is it possible you guys could have him in to play a jam or two?
Yeah.
I think that's perfect.
Yeah. Thanks for always introducing us to great talent. Eddie B from Silver Springs.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Kerry actually plays with Tim's brother on and off. Kerry plays solo, but they also do the duo project.
Yeah. They've played a couple over at Big Buns, right?
I was going to say, if you wanted to catch him, just check out the Rev Media website.
Yeah.
MusicIsTheFuture.com, and you'll see his name on there and catch him wherever he's playing next.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can see that also in the show notes on the podcast, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should have him back, though.
Yeah, we should.
And we should have
force him to play guitar.
Well, both we should have more of that. Mm-hmm. You know, like even like repeat interviewees that we have them, you know, break out the guitar.
Like that was just the first round interview.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Second round is now we need you to take a test.
Yeah.
The test is grab the guitar and show us what you can do.
Right. We've learned enough about your past. We don't need to rehash that.
Yeah.
We know where you went to elementary school. Now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, because this is a really good example of how, like, I have tunnel vision sometimes. When Jesse Moody showed up with a guitar in his hand, I was like, shit, why aren't we doing that?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, and then that, like, went to the back of my mind, and I haven't really thought about it since. But now that it's in the front of my mind again, I'll make a note of it.
Done.
We're just kind of winging it over here.
Just one day at a time. Here's another one. Dear Podcast Envy, I just wanted to say I cracked up during the conversation about whether this or that had been retired. Glad to know it's still alive and well, even if it occasionally gets edited out for time.
Sad times.
I was wondering if you guys would ever do a this or that DMV edition, local venues, local brews, local legends, you name it. Ooh. I think it'd be a fun spin.
Yeah, we about to make some friends and enemies.
Yeah. That was from Angela. Thank you, Angela. Cheers to you too.
Yes.
That's awesome.
That's a great idea. We should try to come up with something. I mean, it's been so broad and really all over the place. Maybe we could kind of corral it to something local. That'd be cool. That's a good idea. Definitely worth exploring. Thanks, Angela.
Yeah, absolutely. See, our listeners give us thoughtful feedback.
One more time.
This is great. I'm doing a great job talking tonight. I'm
thoughtful
so excited.
Feedback.
Thanks for your thoughtful feedback. Yeah. Do you want to talk about some things our listeners may have missed?
Sure.
One thing I can tell you, Brian and I played Lost Fox and Whitlow's last weekend.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Whitlow's was off the chains.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
They are, not only is it like a cool hip spot, and we kind of got into it last time.
Yeah.
And I went on a long tangent. What? XYZ.
No
as
way.
I usually
that doesn't
do.
Sound like
that. That never happens.
Never, ever.
So what made this time different than the other time?
They literally, almost literally share a wall with the Anthem.
Okay.
And so there's always, and the craziest thing was when we got there, you know, the show that we just played, it was just dumping rain.
Nice.
And, we got in there. There were only a few people in there, and Bacon and I didn't have high hopes, you know. But then the rain let up, and then it came down again and let it up again. But there was a charity event at the Anthem, and they had booked the whole place out. And everybody, when the Anthem closed down, came right next door to Whitlow's.
Yep.
And the place got packed. And we're only supposed to play till 1, and then they start wrapping up. They do last call shortly after that. Mm-hmm. And people were like, one more song at like, you know, 12:30, 12:45, 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And we played over. We played a few minutes over, but they were like, we have money. And I'm like, I love that.
Yeah.
I love money. Yeah.
Follow me home. I'll put on a show for you.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to your house.
Yeah. Did you play the Bumblebee song and look around and see if it was like Timmy shows up? Like, you know, it's like, oh, Beetlejuice. You know, it's like, surprise.
Are you saying that we should do that?
That would be just to see if I appear.
Yeah,
that
magical would be that. Experiment. I like that.
You know what? If we could get you to show up magically, I will play that song.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
That'd be
I'll
cool.
do the intro all day.
I'll sneak up there.
Okay.
And if you haven't seen Bacon's new kit, he got a new snare drum.
I did.
So it replaced, he had this wooden frame drum with like a rubber top that we kind of silicone glued it on top. And it was fine. Like, it put out a good amount of sound, but the snare totally like elevated the whole thing.
Really?
And when we played at Lost Fox, I've said it before, but I'm going to say it now again. I think it was probably one of the best, like the tightest that we've been as with the new kit that he plays with.
Nice.
It was amazing. Yeah. I was blown away with like just the sound that comes out of this little thing.
Yeah. It was an 8-inch snare and it's only about 2.5 inches deep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And nice. I made a joke that with the new kit, you know, our drummers will come in with the full thing and it takes them like 30, 45 minutes to set up. But he got his off Timu and he just kind of, you know, flops it.
He's
out.
Like a magician.
Yeah. Like I'm and shaking there, out a rug, right? Yeah,
there it is. It's just this bare bones drum kit. He uses the congas. And then he's got the little snare, and then he added a couple cymbals. I mean, you could tell.
Yeah, I got
the story.
I bought a 6-inch splash cymbal. Okay. I have a 6-inch and a 10-inch, and I've got a 16-inch crash that I use as my ride.
Okay.
So I've got like 3 cymbals. So it's like in the really high pitch, and then kind of a medium, and then like the ride.
Okay.
It works out very nicely.
Nice.
And he, like, depending on the song, like, he'll play with it until he finds that pitch that he's looking for, and then he'll just kind of, like, ride that one.
Nice. Now, would that work for, like, a Radio Envy show?
I think so.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking that maybe we should do that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we all might want to just sit down, you know, at his level.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, the Eagles just sitting, like, a tall chair.
So one of the things that happened while we were not recording was HBO.
We were not recording just now.
I love that transition. Yeah. Oh, the red button's on. We're good. Do you remember that time when we weren't recording, but we were talking?
Oh my God. Hey guys, you mind if we just start over?
Yeah. I was sure. Like 2 weeks ago. Like it was a history. We recorded like 15 minutes of an interview and then it was like, oh shit.
Yeah. Oh, well.
In my defense, it was on, and then it was off, and then it was on again.
Yeah. Well, kind of like my guitar playing.
Yeah.
According to Brian.
Hey, it's just technical difficulties.
Yeah, right. Yes. Thoughtful feedback.
Anyway, as I was saying,
is
one of the things that changed while we were off was HBO went from HBO
to HBO Max.
HBO Go.
Yep.
HBO Max.
That's right.
Yep.
When they bought Cinemax. And then to HBO Max. And then, what was it? They were just
that's
Max
where they were
for a while.
Yeah.
So it was
and
Max.
They went back to HBO Max.
Max, yeah.
The next step is probably like what Prince did and just turned into a symbol.
Yeah. It'll just be the fuzzy screen.
Which I think would be perfect.
Right?
We all would know.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah. Yeah. It's either that or it's, oh, God damn it.
Yeah. Oh, that would be weird, though. I don't know if I'd. It's like, what's it streaming on? God damn it. You know, I don't know, Brian. That's a stretch, dude.
Oh, what's the movie where Coach is the dad?
Keep going.
Starts with a P. It's another word for a ghost.
Poltergeist.
It's like
I almost said perdition, so I'm glad you said it.
It's either HBO or Poltergeist.
Pride and Prejudice.
There we go. Pornhub.
There it is.
Yeah. Anyway, you were saying
that was it.
Oh, okay.
That was it. All moving right. on.
El rot.
Ugh, brain rot. There it is.
Something else happened. That happened to me. I watched a new movie, speaking of HBO, called Mountain Head, that's on HBO right now.
Was that the sequel to Brokeback?
That's a good one.
Well done, bro.
It's got Steve Carell. Yousef Rami is in it.
Wow. They really went all out with this cast for the sequel, didn't they?
Who else is in it? The guy who was in Waiting for Guffman.
Jason Schwartzman?
Yes.
Yeah.
And some other guy, I'm not sure who he is, but... They
Bill
play
fucking Murray.
Yeah, right. They play tech billionaires that are kind of getting away for the weekend to hang out. And
I mean, you're only proving the case. The more you speak,
you know, there was a little bit of massaging in it. But no, so the premise of the movie is these guys, like, while the world is being torn apart by AI and disinformation.
You said
and,
they were tech guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So because of what they do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and they're fully aware of it. So it's very much a reflection, kind of like a Peter Thiel, Elon Musk, Bill Gates.
With like, a little bit of the Puff Daddy freak offs mixed in.
Like all that stuff mixed in to, I'm like, seriously, stuffed into like this story. And it's just kind of like a interesting weekend that the three of them get up to.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
It's a little too close to home, I feel like. In some cases, I'm probably going to cut this part out. But.
Yeah, they're like, boy, can you believe AI? Hold on, a little more to the left. Yes.
Why can I quit AI?
AI.
Oh, God. Anyway.
Sounds great. I can't wait to check it out.
Bacon's like, thanks for ruining another segment.
He's trying to be serious.
I'll be honest, though. I didn't really like it that much.
Okay.
It's, you know,
the segment or the movie?
Well, both at this point. I'm at both right now for that.
The acting was great, though.
Yeah. Also, I saw Captain America, the new Captain America.
Yeah,
movie.
I saw it, too.
Yeah.
Because you told me it was out, and I was like, oh, I got to check it out on Disney Plus.
And?
So I watch videos by the new rock stars, which they're kind of like an explainer channel for Marvel. So they can help you keep track of all the plot lines and, you know, Easter eggs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched a few videos before Captain America came out. So I felt like I kind of knew what was going to happen. Like I knew the missile attack was going to happen. I just didn't know the context around it. Or like I knew they were going to be on a battleship, but I didn't really understand why.
Spoiler.
You're talking about because of the celestial thing in the ocean that they were fighting over? Yeah.
I mean, I saw this scene in the White House before it came out in the movie. So I knew there was going to be a scene in the White House, you know. Okay. So
are you staring into the camera while you're doing this?
So like while I'm watching it, I'm like, I know what's going to happen. So I guess maybe that might be why I wasn't that thrilled by it, but it wasn't that good. It doesn't have the same magic that the first
To me, so after watching it, I had kind of the same feeling where it for whatever reason, in a lot of the early Marvel films, when they first were rolling out, like Captain America, First Avenger, and even when the first Avenger movie or the second one that they came out with, or even
Civil War. Civil War
is fantastic. I've actually watched that one like six times.
Yeah, I've watched it so many times. Yeah.
The storyline is just great. Like the twists and turns and the dialogue is intelligent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe it also has something to do with the actors that were casted. You know, I love me some Harrison Ford.
Was he
a great person to replace William Hurt? I don't know.
Maybe not. Yeah.
You know, he plays a much softer character.
Yeah.
When he plays a more lovable kind of like less angry.
Yeah.
You know, like William Hurt played what's his name, General Ross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very strict, very stubborn, very straightforward. And Harrison Ford, he plays it like Indiana Jones.
Yeah, you know, like Indiana Jones is the president.
Yeah, come on. I don't know.
Yeah.
So Tim's like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
I really liked the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the series on Disney Plus. I thought that was a great series.
Yeah,
and this kind of picked up where that left off. So I thought that was, you know, good. But like,
and the Celestial in the ocean or wherever, that was from Eternals, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. I don't want to blame new rock stars because it's my fault for watching them. And they're a great breakdown channel. I can't recommend them enough. But there's a lot of like them trying to fill the space between movies that it's just kind of like they're speculating and showing footage from the movie. And then Tim does not seem to be into this segment at all.
I'm totally in it.
I don't think Tim's seen a movie in probably 10 years.
I say it all that to say.
At least from start to finish.
I say all that to say, I was looking forward to the Thunderbolts because that's the movie I've been looking forward to the most.
When's that come out?
It's out now. It's in theaters.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I saw it in IMAX, and I am now convinced that that's the only way to watch movies.
Yeah.
And it's just insane. It's not even so much the size of the screen because it is a little huge. But I want to say.
Hopefully you can clip that. That was good.
That was really good.
Yeah.
I want to say it's also like the clarity of the image, where if you just go see it in standard, it's just kind of a little blurry, you know, whatever. But with how fast the action is and the clarity, I guess, that comes from the equipment that they use when they film it to then be able to portray it on the screen. And then the sound, you know, the surround sound, then everything's just like blasting through the behind the speaker or behind the screen.
Mm-hmm. There was the movie Sinners, the director of the movie Sinners. He used several different lenses when he did his
was filming. He the one that used the iPhone cameras?
No, maybe it was Apple cameras, but it was some kind of camera with so there's like the IMAX ratio and then there's like the regular 16.5 or 16:9, whatever. But like in when you watch the movie in IMAX, as the story changes and as the scenes change, the ratio changes too. So what kind of is like a third layer of movie that you can watch. I thought that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Makes me want to go watch it in the theaters.
I just realized that the movie that I'm thinking of, it hasn't come out yet, but it's the 28 Years Later movie.
Oh, I did want to see that.
So 28 Days Later was the original, 28 Weeks Later, and then I think this is 28
years
later. Mm. But the reason why I bought this camera that we're using to film kind of the bird's eye view, it's an FX3, is because they used it in that film. And I looked it up and I was like, oh, I can totally, you know, afford a decent camera now.
Right.
But yeah, all the other stuff that they use, like the Pana something, whatever that brand is that they actually use in the big name studio productions,
Panavision. Yep.
I think they rent those for like $7,000 or $8,000 a day.
Oof.
Yeah. That's so insane. When you're talking about filming a movie for a month or two months or 3 months or whatever it is, like that's why, like, hey, we're on a budget here. Yeah, you know, right? That's not the only thing. Obviously, you're paying everybody that's involved, but it's like you just put that into perspective.
Yeah.
Consider your salary.
Yeah, right.
Consider paying $7,000 a day for something.
No, thanks.
That's amazing.
It's like a music studio.
Yeah.
All the other pieces that kind there of you add go. In. Yep.
Yep. Oh, Tim, thanks for making this about a music podcast. Yeah.
Well done.
Speaking of studio.
Studio.
I talked to a buddy a couple days ago, and we finally have final revisions complete on the EP that was supposed to be done last September, but for a million reasons wasn't, you know, we weren't able to get it out then. So we're at the point of mix. We're trying to get some stuff on the calendar for the guy to mix it. And we should be able to, I'm thinking it's probably realistic that we'll have the EP out by September this year.
Wow. That's kick ass.
Yeah. But I listened to...
What songs are on that again? Remind the audience.
So we've got Resist You. Mm-hmm. We've got Your Eyes.
Okay.
And we've got Highs and Lows.
Oh, okay.
And so it's just those three songs. Each, the first two I mentioned have like more like upbeat, like very much rock kind of emo kind of vibe. And then the Highs and Lows is a little bit more subdued, still kind of emo. Mm-hmm. It's tough, as you know, writing some of the stuff that I've written, kind of compartmentalizing it, saying that I'm just this kind of songwriter, because I'm not. I'm all over the place.
Sure. Yeah. So do you play any of those songs when you do your solo shows? So if people come out to see you, can they get a sneak peek?
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Well, one of the things I wanted to share with our wonderful audience is something that I came across. These guys are called the Blue Light Band.
Okay.
I'm going to show this. So what they do is they take pop songs and they turn them into yacht rock.
Oh, he loves this.
Mm-hmm. So I just want you to just tell me what you think of it.
Look at that face.
Yeah, they alternate singing. I think the bass player sings on some of them too.
Yeah.
It's good. I dig it. It's smart.
That's him doing, he's doing the Purdy shuffle on the drums right there.
Yeah. And it's fun. It's a fun way to get recognized.
Yeah.
They probably have original stuff that's freaking bangers.
Yeah.
You can't play that well and that succinctly and
yeah,
without having your own stuff.
Yeah. Here's another one they do. It's Coldplay.
Yeah. Michael McDonald's like...
I love his voice.
Yeah.
This guy reminds me of Kenny Loggins a little bit.
Okay. It is funny, though, hearing the song play this way, and I thought about this. I saw this recently. To then, and the words are there on the screen, but I can also obviously hear it more clearly now that they're singing it a little bit slower and more, you know, with articulation.
Yeah.
Because the original, I had no idea what the hell he was singing about, but it had a good groove to it and it you know, sounded fun. And it was early. That's an early Coldplay song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm blown away by how they totally capture the vibe and like the pocket of like the yacht rock era. Like they do were amazing. I mean, it sounded like Kenny Loggins, man.
Well, and you're quite the fan.
Oh yeah. I'm an aficionado, if you will. Mr. Number 10 listener of Steely Dan in the world.
Oh, you went down?
Wasn't it?
I thought you were top 10. Now you're down to number 10.
I mean, I was top 10. I just mean, I don't want to take the first spot.
All right, pull up the charts.
I'm just being polite. Yeah.
See, Tim, I'm talking about the freaking fish. And every once in a while they move like a painting that just kind of follows you around the room.
Wow.
Can I point something out?
Yeah. Sure.
Real quick. So I recently had an opportunity. Sorry, Bacon, don't get upset.
I'm not upset.
To perform with another drummer.
I did ask you first. You fucker.
I asked you first.
I knew that.
You said you weren't available.
Yep.
And the guy that I played with, we had a lot of fun. It was the first time that we'd played together in a very long time.
Yeah.
We played a gig together and we hadn't played together in a long time. And it's not like when we play together where we just know kind of our ticks and the way that we, you know, change pace or inflections or whatever.
You know, we'll land on the downbeat if we have to.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Yeah.
And so when we were done and we were driving home because we rode together. He goes, yeah, man, it was a killer time. Now. We, you know, stressed multiple times, like how great it was to finally catch up and to play a gig together and, you know, how great each other sounded. And I'm paraphrasing, but he said, you know, what would be helpful for the next time that we play together, if that ever happens, is if you played it the way that the record plays. And he was saying that to me. And I, you know, I already knew that the way that we played songs was not the way that you hear it on the record. Yeah. And that was always intentional. The idea was to create our own versions of these songs that kind of map to our strengths, to the way that we heard them or wanted to perform them, or to, you know, provide a variety, a different version of it. And it was just funny because the guy, I mean, he can improvise, but he definitely is like a session kind of style drummer.
Yeah,
where he plays everything, like even on the road trip up. I gave him the set list in advance the morning of. He went through with a highlighter and highlighted the songs in three different colors, ones that he knew that he could knock out of the park, ones that he was like, yeah, I think I'll do pretty well, and then ones that he'd never heard of.
Yeah.
And so on the road trip up, he listened to all the ones that he'd never heard of on, you know, in the car.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, like, if he's that good and he's just mapping these in his brain, then how big of a disappointment was I when we just started playing the first song? He's like, oh, this is going to be a long gig.
Oh, here's Wonderwall.
But we had a good time. It was fun. We even brought someone up on stage, which we said we'd never do.
Yeah. That's why I'm glad it was him, not me. Yeah.
But we brought someone up who said that she could sing. She was up there with a few of her friends. Mm-hmm. Well, I was like, well, what song do you want to sing? Mm. And I was like, sing some of it for me. Like, we did some stuff on the break to kind of, you know, neutralize that awkward, you know, like that one girl that jumped up on stage with the tambourine for at Whitlow's. Do you remember what
I'm talking about? Yeah.
And she was spazzing out. And so I kept changing the lyrics to like suit the things that she was doing. And her friends, some of them were laughing and others were just like,
is he talking to my friend that way?
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I don't know. They were cool though. We had fun.
Nice.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I have the only point that I was really trying to make there is that I've recognized.
And we got there.
I've recognized how unique our performances are.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something that truly is replicated easily, but it's like, well, you know, we never aim to be the studio version of any artist, except for maybe our own stuff, you know?
But we've always said we didn't want to be the best at playing other people's music.
Right.
Yeah. We wanted to do it our way.
Yep.
And that we've held to it.
Absolutely. I will fuck up everyone else's songs.
I know. You tried to improvise and ad lib, and it's like, oh boy.
He's like, how do I harmonize with that?
Yeah. I was like, he's trying to rhyme orange with orange.
One of the things
it's like, ooh.
One of the things that stood out, I think, the most is that we now have four Sublime songs on the set list.
Yeah.
And Sublime songs are mostly like upstrokes on the strings.
Yep.
And I play them down because I try to get that bass, you know, note out first.
It's all about that bass.
Yeah.
No trouble.
Trouble.
Yeah. Anyway, that was a problem. But we worked through it. It's fine.
That's nice.
You know, it's funny. There are a couple of songs that we play that I know the way it goes on the radio or on the album version. But when we play it, I feel like I'm playing it different every single time we play it.
Yeah. But yeah, because... But you know what? Isn't it fun to have that freedom?
Sometimes.
Come on.
He's like, no, but yeah, sure, yeah.
I mean, it keeps you on your toes. Think about it.
But a drummer wants to be consistent. A drummer likes, it, I don't want to speak for you, but you.
Sounds like you are to me.
But you want it to be kind of a consistent, this is how we do it. And to
Brian
kind
would
of
like
change
that
it
for
up.
Me too, but I can't always provide that.
I think if you could just decide what you're gonna do on Tennessee Whiskey, either play or sing.
Yeah.
That's
you're,
the only thing.
You're either on or off.
You're either on or off.
Yeah. There's a song that we do, and you've made the comment a couple of times how difficult it must be for me to keep that particular beat because I'm fancy.
Breakfast
busy.
At Tiffany.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I think.
Dude, the whatever pattern you play in that song is uncanny. I don't know how you just pick up in it like that and play it the whole way through and you never slip up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'll fuck it up, but he doesn't.
Mm.
That's pretty wild.
But the way you play it puts it in an odd time signature. So the downbeat's different than if I was playing straight 4/4.
Can I tell you that I have no idea what time signature I'm playing any of my songs?
It's funny, like, because every time we start to play that song, I'm like, oh, we're doing this song. I'm like, oh, man, this is the one I'm going to fuck up on. And I concentrate really hard.
Yeah.
And we make it.
The only one that we, I think, slip up on is the break on the Nickelback.
Oh, yeah.
Is yeah. That the breakdown for whatever reason, every time you do it, it's a little bit different. And then you always get it in like the last measure.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there he is. Yeah.
My bass pedal needs a little bit more practice.
But I clearly don't play it the way that the, you know, they recorded it in studios.
I like the way we play things.
Yeah. Agreed.
Stay locked in. We'll be right back with more Podcast Envy.
Something terrible happened today.
Okay.
Have you seen Parks and Rec? Like, have you watched that show?
Mm-hmm.
The guy who plays the Native American mm-hmm. chief, Hotate.
Yep.
He was also the voice for Red something, King of the Hill. Uh-huh. King of the Hill. Anyway.
Which is making a comeback.
Sounds right.
King of the Hill's making a comeback.
Mike Judge is unstoppable.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, the guy who played the character passed away today.
Wow.
After an argument in his front yard.
Oof.
The story that they're telling, Joss got into a heated argument with his neighbor at a house in the city's south side on Sunday night. According to San Antonio police, it led to a bloody confrontation.
Oof.
The guy pulled a gun and shot him.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Well, we are in Texas.
Yeah. So he was, his name is Jonathan Joss. He's best known for King of the Hill, but he also played in small roles in Tulsa King and Ray Donovan and in films like True Grit and The Magnificent Seven, which is a fantastic movie if you've never seen it.
Mm. The new one?
The one with Chris Pratt.
Mm, the new one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm. I don't like old Westerns. I can't. Everybody's like, oh, John Wayne. I'm like, fuck John Wayne.
Oh.
Wow.
His breath stank. I ain't watching this shit.
Sadly, another person passed away.
Oh, jeez.
Richard Dean Zeringer, who's also known as Rick Derringer, passed away on May 26, 2025. Some songs that he's known for, Frankenstein by the Edgar Winter Group.
They ought to turn him up.
That's like Frankenstein kind of goes off like that, but another song.
Oh, come on, take a free ride.
Mm-hmm.
The mountain is high, the valley is low.
Is this, what's the name of this band?
This is the Edgar Winter Group.
Oh. What's the one I'm thinking of?
Joe Walsh?
Foghat.
Oh, Foghat.
Yeah.
Mm.
He wasn't with them.
I don't think so. No.
Very similar vibe.
He also played for one of my favorite bands.
Doors?
Steely Dan?
Steely Dan.
Oh, no. This is why it's so near and dear.
Yeah.
Got it. Wow. He was just a hired gun around these parts.
Yeah. He's played also played for Weird Al
John Wayne.
Yeah. He also played for Weird Al Yankovic's Grammy winning parodies. And he composed the wrestling theme Real American.
Oh yeah, that's right. He did. Yeah.
So he
composed it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very talented Rick Derringer.
American. Very cool. Well, like I'm sorry for your loss, Bacon.
Yeah, it's I'll get through it. He only sat in for a few songs.
I'll get through it, poor guy.
I'll get through it. Every time Chain Lightning comes on, I'm like, I'm like, hell yeah, that's my boy.
I'm going to try to hang on to that because that's probably one of your songs later.
Perhaps.
Ace of Base.
I'll forget.
Yeah.
Do you want me to keep going?
Sure.
Yeah. Who else died?
Yeah.
Well, it's not a death, but it is a change in the way things are going. Are you guys familiar with Marc Maron?
No, only Marky Mark.
Mark, that's the only Mark you know?
Only.
So Marc Maron, he's a comedian.
Okay.
He was really big in the early aughts. I mean, he's still famous. I mean, mm-hmm. He did a podcast called WTF or What the Fuck, I guess.
Oh. Is that what that stands
yeah,
for?
What the French toast?
WTF podcast. They had over 2,000 episodes since 2009.
Wow.
He interviewed people like Barack Obama.
Okay.
The guy, Lorne Michaels.
Okay.
Comedians, all kinds of comedians, all kinds of celebrities, you know.
Did he die?
No. This is what he said. It's okay to end things. It's okay to try to start something or another chapter in your life. Mm. He's just moving on. But he and his producer, Brendan McDonald, were the recipients of the first ever Governor's Award by the Podcast Academy for Excellence in Audio.
Something to strive for.
In 2021.
Wow.
Yeah.
What? How do we get on that list?
It's just an honor to be nominated, I think. Just like everything else, you've got to submit it, and you got to do the tour, you got to do the sucking up, and
you got to do
paying
the
people
head.
Off, and yeah,
and then hang on, Sloopy,
hang on. So yeah, I mean, I think it's cool that he had such an accomplished. I mean, he's the OG podcaster, really.
2,000 episodes.
Yeah,
that's impressive.
Yeah,
we do that many between November of whatever to now?
I didn't think felt like it.
What?
Tim, when you said feels like it's been days, it's like, yeah, totally. Tim and I both had the same thought.
My God. Is this the 2000s episode?
I don't think there's been 2000 days that we've had a podcast yet.
I don't think 2000 days have passed since we started.
It hasn't. That makes it even more funny.
Oh, all right. Cool.
Acting.
You thought I was asleep.
Yes. Acting. Yeah. I've noticed this pop up on the socials lately.
Yeah.
All American Rejects are doing these pop-up house shows.
What?
Yes. So they're going on tour with the Joe Bros coming up. Your
Joe Bros, is that Jonas Brothers?
That's right.
Oh, look at you.
Is That's everyone crazy. Just working with the Jonas Brothers lately? Have you noticed that? Especially Joe Jonas just doing singles with everyone.
Everybody.
Yeah.
And they are with Marshmello. It's called the Living the Dream Tour. All American Rejects, Boys Like Girls, and Jonas Brothers and Marshmello. So that's coming up this
interesting
summer.
Combo.
They're going to be at Nats Park on August 12th, which is pretty cool. So they've been doing these kind of pop-up concerts, kind of out of the blue.
Backyards.
Yep, people's backyards.
Isn't this the kind of thing that Mumford & Sons used to do?
Yeah, but I guess
is this their dirty little secret?
Ooh.
They would just like call local venues, like think Spanky's Shenanigans in Leesburg. They'd be like, hey, we're going to be in town. Can you clear this date for us? You know, but don't tell anybody. Mumford used to do that. They would just travel and they would just hit up these random local venues.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty cool. And the shows they put on are literally in like people's backyards and the cops are coming and shutting them down and... You know, they're like, hey, the cops are letting us
do
one more.
Don't you know what an ordinance is?
Yeah. So, but it's pretty cool. It reminds me of like the old, 2000s house parties, right?
Yeah.
Where you have the band in the backyard kind of deal. So they have, and then they came out with the top 10 list of All American Rejects most streamed songs. So did you guys want to take a stab at what you think is the number one?
I'm going to go with the one that he just played. Dirty Little Secret.
Dirty Little Secret is number two.
I think Move Along is probably their number one.
Move Along is actually one of my favorites from them.
Yeah. I love the music video.
Yeah.
When it like flipped through a million different people. Move along like I know
and
you do.
Actually, the lead singer said that song, he gets the most comments back from fans about how that song helps them get through tough times.
Really?
I mean, it's also got a great... You ever think about that? Sorry, not to cut you off, but do you ever think about that? Like where sometimes you think the lyrics could have been paired with a better beat. But in this case, I think like the two both complement each other so well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, and that happens often, with these big name artists and that's why we know them so well. But yeah, sometimes you'll hear a song and you're like, oh, man, I really like this beat, but these lyrics are trash.
Yeah, right?
But that song is spot on. But it's just, kind of takes, when you hear artists like that, put out their own stuff and then, they get that kind of feedback. It's kind of like when we play, original music and people give us feedback on how it makes them feel. I mean, that's the same kind of thing. But that's one of my favorites. That is awesome. Number three.
Which one?
The one that Move Along is number three.
Okay. What about Swing, Swing on the Terry?
Swing, Swing. That's number four. That to me, I think was one of their first hits.
Yeah, I would say so.
And I think that's a great song. I love this intro.
I mean, this just takes you back to the time when, like, Jimmy Eat World was popular. Yes, yeah. Like, all these other bands that just had this sound.
Yellow Card.
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
The early aughts was, where was that?
Oh, even and Blink. I think we've talked about this before. Cartel.
Yeah, too. Yeah.
Cartel is coming. They're coming back. And Yellow Card's actually putting out a new album.
Really?
And they're going on tour with it. Yes. Huh. Yep. So you guys still have not picked number one yet.
It ends tonight.
That is number five.
It Can't Be Gives You Hell.
That is number one.
Oh, really? Wow.
With 664 million streams. Gives You Hell. It's a pretty good FU song.
Yeah.
Like, and where's that shiny car? You never got one? Yeah.
Yeah. Thinking, so just keep it playing. Listen to this song. Listen to the how many instruments and how many tempo changes, and like think of how many things are happening in this song. The extra harmonies, the crescendos. This gives like Sugar Cult lit vibe. You know what I'm saying?
Sugar Cult is the shit. I love that band.
Beep, 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 beep. Yeah. Like these are all production choices.
Now we can't play this segment on YouTube, but yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
We just can't monetize. It'll be fine.
But yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool. Just seeing the videos, and it popped up on like every time I'd scroll, I was like, oh, they're at a new spot. And their social media, it's like a surprise. It's like, hey, we're going to be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So keep on the lookout. And, you know, and then they
come
they
find
show
us.
Mm hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, it's interesting that you brought that up, because I read an article today, actually, on CNN talking about the death of festivals that's kind of currently happening right now. So far this year, and we're only in June,
mm-hmm.
40 festivals have been canceled so far this year. Lack of ticket sales, yeah.
Are they known festivals that have been going on for years? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what?
Pitchfork Music Festival in Chicago, Atlanta's Music Midtown, Kickoff Jam in Florida, Made in America Festival, Delaware's Firefly Festival.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Firefly, I know, has been a big deal for a long time.
Lollapalooza, I think, is questionable.
Really?
This is the second year in a row that Coachella didn't sell out in less than a week. Because when Coachella first came out, they would sell out within hours.
What are they saying is the reason?
There's a bunch of people that have a bunch of different reasons. I'm curious to see if you guys have any thoughts on it. But do you think it's a change in the way we consume music? Is it a change in the way younger generations engage with music?
It could also be the fact that some, unless I'm reading this wrong, that those that are running the festivals, maybe others are doing a better job. You know, maybe people are tired of complaining about the same things. Oh, I've been coming to this festival for the last 3 years and it, you know, water is $10 a bottle, or it's always like the parking sucks, or, you know what I mean?
I think that's part of what it is. I think that the corporate sponsorships, they saw opportunities to extract every possible dollar out of people that were at the shows, mm-hmm. parking, food, water, and the ticket prices themselves are amazingly crazy. I remember when I went to Ozfest in 2001, the tickets were $25.
Yeah.
And that was it. I mean, we had to pay for parking, but like between the five of us in one car, no big deal.
Right.
But like, if you're going to a festival that's like overnight, for example, you got to pay camping fees. You got to pay all, like, there's no like Because like when Woodstock happened back in 1969, that's the be all end all of festivals, right? A lot of that shit was free. Like people just went and camped out, and like they didn't charge them for their tent. They didn't charge them for their lot. They probably didn't charge them for parking because, you know,
they'd be squeezing us.
I mean, $10 for a bottle of water, or even $7 or $5. Anything over $2 really for water is just
ridiculous.
Absolutely insane. Yeah,
I agree.
And
have you seen the prices for EDC?
What's EDC?
The Electric Daisy Celebration. I don't know.
All right.
It's a electronic music festival that they usually hold. And I think like you could get like a taco platter was like $80.
My God.
Like I'm talking like normal stuff that you should be able to get for like $8 or $10. Yeah, it was insane. But the vendors, you know, nobody was lining up to get anything, but it's like, I mean, who's setting the prices? Is it the vendors or is it the actual festival saying, you know, post these, you know, that's the only way that you're going to be able to break even or make some money is if you, you know, set these prices.
I remember growing up and when the local radio rock station would be promoting the heck out of whoever was in town and they would give tickets away and it was an event, you know, I don't know how much of that is happening these days. How much people are listening to the radio to get tickets.
As I say, do you think it's because of the radio? Maybe, you know, not as many people are listening to the radio.
Yeah.
That's possible.
I think that's
because if we're streaming music or if we're listening to podcasts like Podcast Envy, which is pretty great and definitely not a waste of your time.
Absolutely.
Maybe people aren't listening to the radio to dial in and get tickets.
Yeah, because they're listening to us instead of.
Maybe it's kind of a waste to offer it on the radio stations because nobody's dialing in.
Or maybe they should plug into our podcast.
Yeah. You know, we have a couple of sponsorship opportunities left.
That's right. They're going quickly, though.
Yeah, if you want to hit us up, feedback@podcastenvy.com.
That's correct.
Yeah, hit us up.
Hit us up, and we will be happy to
declare.
Today, Junior. we both had different ideas.
You made me think about Walton Coggins when you said that. I was thinking about Baby Billy.
Dude, honestly, probably one of my favorite characters on TV right now.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I don't make no money after this. After I pay my scientists, my marketing department, I make nothing. Zip, zilch. Why do you do it then, Baby Billy? Because I do it for you.
He put on a TV show called Teenjus, and he was this almost 80-year-old dude playing a teenager Jesus.
Really?
Teenjus in the third season, or the fourth season, I guess now. Righteous Gemstones is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You haven't seen Teenjus?
I haven't gotten that far.
It's such a good subplot in the season. It's so good. So I came across an interesting story, and I wanted to share it with you guys and kind of get your take on what you think could be possibly going on.
Okay. What kind of story is it?
It's a story.
Where did you get it?
It's off of one of those Reddit forums.
Okay.
And would I be the asshole? Or it wasn't, it was just... life tips or what, you know, what do I do?
Okay.
Or what should I do or something?
All right. Hey, rot.
So it's from a man's perspective.
Okay.
I'm so confused. Two months ago, my fiance and I found a jacket on the coat rack after going out one night with friends. We assumed maybe someone left their jacket after they came over, but it turned out to be no one's. There was even some sunglasses in it on the inside pocket. Ray-Bans.
Oh.
Today.
Meta Ray-Bans?
Today we looked on the coat rack and found another jacket. Again, no one has visited us except family and close friends, and everyone is claiming it's not theirs. Oh, both boy. Are men's jackets and seem to be similar in size.
Oh, boy.
It's very strange. All that sounds terrible. And then this is a weird last line of the question. I'm a spiritual person, so my instinct to think that, what if it's a spirit? But what spirit would be leaving Ray-Bans in jackets?
Has he not realized that his wife is cheating on him?
Thank you very much. That's what I wanted to see if you guys thought too.
Think of it like this is the easiest way to figure it out. Think if the roles were reversed and it was women's jackets.
Right.
That they both were finding in the closet.
Sure.
Where would she immediately go?
Exactly.
Where would the husband be? Buried in the backyard. Yeah.
There would be a podcast about it.
Yeah.
Where did your husband go?
Yeah.
But the thing that really got me was like, he's pouring his heart out and talking about how he doesn't understand what this could possibly be. Then he's like, well, it could have been a ghost. Like, I don't fucking think so, dude.
Yeah.
This is Podcast Envy.
You want to do the humming? You wanted to get a hummer?
Yeah. Yes. Let's get humming.
All right. So there's a game.
Okay.
That I want to play with you guys. And you get to keep your clothes on. Don't worry about that.
Aw.
And it is music oriented. I'm going to ask you guys, or I have asked you guys, to come up with five songs that you're going to hum. And we're all going to do it and see who gets what song. And then we'll, can I entrust you with tallying points, Bacon?
Yeah.
But the idea is like hum whatever part of the song that you like. And then just like keep going however you want to. And then when somebody gets it, you know, that's a point kind of thing. Because you might hum a different part of the song that I'd be like, what the hell is that? And Bacon will just pick it up in 2 seconds.
So are we doing all of five or are we doing one at a time?
Let's go around.
So is that all five?
One at a time.
Okay.
One at a time.
And you're going to start us off, right?
I can start. Yeah.
me. You're gonna lose control.
Who is it?
Oh, it's hold on loosely, don't let go. If you think too tightly, you're gonna lose control.
So hold on tight is the song.
Yeah, it's
isn't that REO Speedwagon?
No, it's
you're in the right space though.
Oh. What is their name?
Come on, Timmy.
I can't think of the band name. You're going to say it and I'm going to kick myself.
Yep. Well, Timmy got 1 point.
Yep.
And there's 2 points, obviously, to get in each one. Electric Light Orchestra.
Yellow. Yeah.
Yellow.
Son of a bitch.
All right. You keep a track?
Yep.
All right. Bacon, what do you got?
Oh, you want me to go now?
Mm-hmm. Hold On Loosely is by 38 Special. Not by
Yellow. It is. You're right. I'm sorry. Damn.
You said it and I was like, yeah,
that didn't sit right with me either. I know. I know. I don't know all of Yellow's.
I probably wrote it down wrong. Sorry.
It's okay.
Doctor. Oh, it's
California Love.
Yep.
By Tupac.
There it is.
Yeah.
I got 2 points.
Good job, B.
Sandals, baby.
Hell yeah. I don't have the ding along. Okay.
Huh?
I'm going to do the ding-along. Correct.
Oh, here.
The dingling.
Oh. I'm not connected to Bluetooth.
Like it was just you. So
damn it.
Yeah.
All right. Timothy, what do you got?
Bill Collins in the air tonight.
Yep.
Wow.
Woo woo. That's two for me.
Bling, damn. Bling. Okay.
Good job, Bacon.
Thanks, pal.
You ready to go back to the chorus?
I got nothing on
that.
Yeah,
I got zippy.
You sure?
Yeah, go back to the chorus.
His dad used to be a famous actor on a TV show many years ago.
His dad was a famous actor.
Some might say he's a thick ass boy.
Oh, Robin Thicke?
Uh-huh. Give Timmy a point for that.
Yep.
I don't know the song, though.
Lost Without You.
Lost
Without You.
The only one I know is...
I can't...
Hey.
That's the only one I know. Ting, 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 ting.
The one that he got sued for.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
All right. Well, yeah, no, that was his debut album.
Mm, okay.
All right.
My turn?
Mm-hmm. It's Queen. No.
Steely Dan.
I know this song. Keep going. He's always a woman to
there
me.
There it is. There it is.
Yeah. Is it, it's Billy Joel.
It's Billy Joel.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Always a woman to me.
Did you know that? Damn, Tim, you're like a steel trap elephant brain. Yeah.
I've heard this song. This is a jam right here. Yeah, she steals like
a thief, but she's always a woman to me.
Don't Stop Believing, Journey.
There you go.
Yo!
There it is.
Bacon, I thought you were going to jump in on that.
I wasn't sure until the second, and then you had already
the
gotten
pause.
It then. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, continue. It's a relatively recent
song. It's a recent song. No?
Dun, dun, dun. This is 90s.
Oh.
And the original was in the 80s.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Mm-hmm. That's the song. And
who's that? That's not.
It's called Feeling Hot, Hot, Hot.
I don't know who sings it.
It's not the Miami Sound Machine, is it?
No. So.
Ooh. Come and check your body, baby. Do that conga. There we go.
I love that you guys.
Did we just become best friends?
Immediately in sync.
Yeah.
So the band that made it popular is the Merry Men.
Mm.
But the original song was written and performed by an artist who went by the name Arrow.
Hostile. So
maybe. Mm. Yep.
Okay. That's I get one point.
Your favorite clothing line of the century.
Dude, I used to wear that all the time.
It was like, what else they got?
Yeah.
Oh, it's my turn?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is round three.
Three.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Dua Lipa.
That is a tough one.
That was the chorus.
Yeah, no, I could tell.
We giving up?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I want to say Barbara Streisand. That sounds wrong. fucking Steely fucking
Peg.
Dan.
It's Peg by Steely Dan.
I was thinking it was a female. I don't know why.
Peg, she will come back to you.
Tim, that was your moment.
I know.
Little Michael McDonald in the background there.
Yeah. All right, T-Bone.
Okay.
You're up.
Ghostbusters.
What?
I can't think of the name of the band.
The original?
Either one.
Well, I definitely got
Robert. No, it starts with an R. Richard. Rodney.
Dick.
You said it though.
I did.
Ramses the Third.
There you go.
What's his name?
Ray Parker Jr.
Ray Parker Jr. That's what it was.
There you go.
Doggone it.
All right. Job, Bacon. So I have three more on here. I'm debating which ones to choose. I'll do this one. Hold on. Give me a sec.
Okay. I know what it is. Joy to the World.
No, that's Jefferson Airplane.
Jefferson Airplane.
Or Fudge.
No, it's not them either.
No. You got me. Jefferson something. Three Dog Night.
You got it.
There you go. Nicely good job, done. Bacon.
So I only, it's so funny how you throughout your life will just pick up on artists randomly. And I learned who they were through the Budweiser album that they came out with. Remember when the frogs were big?
Budweiser.
And they came out with an album. And it was like 12 or 14 songs on this album. And this song was on there. I was like, man, this song is awesome. You know, this is like mid, late 90s.
Yeah. My turn?
Mm-hmm. We're going in a circle. Have, you know, there's one more rotation.
Okay.
Okay.
Bum, 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 bum.
Come together.
Wow. That's too easy. Aerosmith. So not
I mean, it's not Aerosmith the, did do it, but that's not who originally did it.
Oh, Beatles.
Beatles. There it is.
You got it.
2 points for Brian.
No fights here,
no,
Brian.
I'd say God, come together.
God, Brian, like why are you such an asshole?
1 point for Brian, 1 point for Tim.
Yeah.
I'm a farmer and I'm towing my field.
There you go. You're close.
I've absolutely heard this song before.
I got this. Zilch.
It's Baton Rouge.
Yes. Calling Baton Rouge by. That's a great pull, by the way.
It is a good pull.
I've only heard that song like 3 times in my entire life.
It's a great song.
But I was trying to sing in my head.
Who sings it? It's Garth Brooks.
Garth! Come on, Bacon. Where
Timmy's
were you?
Got friends in low places.
That's right.
Yeah, it's us.
Yeah, we are the low ones.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was not prepared for that one. I didn't
I know. Country's not y'all's favorites, but I had to throw a country one in.
See how
there.
We threw y'all in there acting like he's playing the part?
That's get him a hat.
Are you wearing your trucker hat?
Get her done.
All right. I'm going to go with this one.
Clearly a rock song. He's having a real hard shit. For the people at home, he's tapping his feet like he's playing the drums. It's so funny.
I can't look at him. I can't look at him.
He sounds like he's getting hit in a video game. Like a seal.
A kiss from the rose.
Seal.
I should have done that one.
My side.
You may, here, I'll do that. I'll do the chorus again.
Okay. I love the.
I'm playing all the parts. Yeah.
Is that a sax
all right,
solo?
I'll do just. I'll do just the vocals. Just the vocals.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I know what that is.
Yeah, it's, you know
the Beastie Boys, Brass Monkey.
Yeah,
oh, there it is.
Well there done. It is.
Well, I was like, I was so
trying
funny.
To do the horn.
But I couldn't look at you because you're like squirming in your seat, like you're.
Because I was trying to think of all the actual parts.
Yeah.
That's why I had my eyes closed. There it is. I knew it was going to be a good one. Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
And now we have it on video.
All right. So the grand total is with the drum roll. I don't think he's paying attention.
He's trying to find out how many he's...
Okay, so Brian has 7.
Aw.
Tim has 9.
Suck it.
And I have 6.
You are the weakest link.
I am the weakest
Goodbye.
Link. Goodbye.
What's happening in the news?
Breaking news.
Wilbur. Breaking news, Taylor Swift has bought her masters back. In a landmark move for artists' rights, Taylor Swift has regained full ownership of her master recordings on May 30th, 2025.
Good for her.
I think the timing of it is really interesting, though, because I think the next album she would have to redo the Taylor's version of would be Reputation.
And what's that about?
My understanding is that's about how you're perceived and the way people talk about you, your reputation.
Oh, got it.
So explain to me what it is that's going on here. Is she going back into the studio and re-recording these versions and then trying to get people to stream the re-recorded versions?
That was the original plan.
How does she have the ability to go back into the studio and re-record a song that's already been recorded? And you know what I mean? Like if that song already exists,
yeah.
And somebody else owns the masters, what allows her legally to re-record the song and make her own money off of that song?
I think I have an answer.
Okay.
So the composition rights and sound recording rights, those are the two licensing possibilities. She was able to re-record her songs to create a new sound recording that she owned. So she must have had composition rights. And another thing, too, she had a clause in her contract that prohibited her from re-recording the songs until 2020. That has since expired, sure. So she was able to to do that.
Obvi.
The Carlyle Group bought it, and that has a connection to Northern Virginia. Why? Because Glenn Youngkin used to be the CEO of the Carlyle Group, and he's the governor of Virginia.
There you go.
Kings of Leon canceled their European tour.
What?
Why? Yeah. Man, according to it's on fire, yo.
According to People Magazine, in a significant setback for European fans, Kings of Leon have canceled their UK and European tour dates after lead singer Caleb Folwell suffered a serious heel injury in a freak accident while playing with his children. He underwent emergency surgery in Nashville and has been advised to avoid traveling or performing for at least 8 weeks. The band expressed their disappointment.
Probably ruptured his Achilles.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. The things closest to you, you're like, oh, that makes sense. Poor guy. I mean, I went through a freaking nine months of physical therapy. So, I mean, I don't know to the extent, but even what's his name? Kobe Bryant had, you know, he didn't have a full rupture, but he had to have his Achilles repaired.
Yeah,
that just sucks, man. I mean, what are you supposed to do? You can't say, I suppose we could all be Dave Grohl and put on a cast and sit down in a chair and
we could be,
or do the Phil Collins thing and just, you know, have someone bring a chair out for you. That's obviously different, but well, that sucks. So how many shows did they cancel? Does it say?
The whole thing. The whole tour has been canceled.
Well, how long is the tour?
Apparently 8 weeks.
Stay locked in. We'll be right back with more Podcast Envy.
So in case you weren't aware, there's really hot blockbusters coming out this summer.
Oh, really?
And I was...
Movies are my favorite. I can't wait.
I asked ChatGPT, hey, chat... what are the big movies coming out this summer? And it gave me a list of 10 movies.
Really?
That are coming out this summer. You ready?
I'm ready.
I love this background music.
Only in theaters, right?
Only in theaters, yeah. Okay.
Only.
Hottest movies of the summer, probably, maybe, who knows?
Okay.
Fast X, Still Fast, Somehow Furious. In this installment, Vin Diesel travels back in time to prevent the invention of public transit. Sponsored by NOS, Olive Garden, and testosterone.
Olive Garden?
Olive Garden's so good.
Unlimited breadsticks for Vin Diesel.
I could
salad. Oh, dude, they're
on
salads.
The soup salad breadsticks right now.
So good.
The next one, Barbie 2, Ken's Reckoning. Ken finally realizes he's an accessory, not a man. Expect existential dread, glitter tears, and Ryan Gosling's 8-pack doing its own press tour.
Wow.
Yeah.
Brian's in.
Where's this all coming from?
ChatGPT.
Oh my God. Wake up!
Wake up! The next one, number 3, Mission Incomprehensible. Tom Cruise performs all his own stunts, including writing the script mid-skydive. The plot involves international espionage, rogue AI, and somehow a Chili's.
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back.
Oppen Barbenheimer, just one ticket, please. Studios combine both hits into a single five-hour existential Barbiecore nuclear event. Wear pink, bring tissues, question humanity.
No. That doesn't sound as interesting.
Inside Out 3, now with anxiety that pays taxes. Your emotions are back, God. And this time they're working remote, eating Tums, and wondering if therapy is in-network.
That's
popping
good.
Tums.
Number six, Elon the Musical. The high energy...
Oh, God, I can't wait for that.
A high energy SpaceX meets SNL fever dream with songs like Verified But Alone and Subtweet Serenade, starring someone who's definitely going to get canceled by Wednesday. Wednesday good. Adams? Hey! Nobody?
How can no, you, nailed it.
How would you ever be able to understand what he's singing about? That's the funny part. Yeah, exactly. Is he going to bring a chainsaw?
Yeah. Cut through the bureaucracy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's so funny.
The next one, Quiet Place 3. Please stop coughing in the theater. Earth is
overrun.
We're
all going to die.
Earth is overrun by creatures that attack noise, which is bad for anyone watching with a popcorn bag or a sinus infection. Jurassic World. We genetically brought back the franchise again. Scientists ask, just because we can, should we? Hollywood answers, yes, and in IMAX 3D.
Ooh. Yeah, I told you. It's the only way to watch soon. Them.
Number nine, The Real Housewives of Westeros. Swords, oh, dragons, Botox. Watch as the Daenerys throw wine at Cersei no. for unfollowing her on Raven.
Salmon sperm underneath the skin.
Jeez.
That's the Botox of Westeros.
Nice recall.
Jesus.
That was good. Last one, number 10, Avengers Endgame 2. Wait, what? Marvel's Phase 6, 5, 6, or 11, they've lost track, continues with a multiverse of product placements and one CGI cameo from your toaster.
Yeah, they forget about the phases when they don't do well.
Yeah. They've changed the phases.
Yeah. So. Well, for different reasons.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Majors, by the way, is coming out with a new movie.
Is he? Ooh.
Yeah, it's called Magazine Dreams. Actually, I think it's already out. I don't know if it's in theater, if it went straight to at home, but I saw a preview for it. And it's just, you know, it's him doing his thing. But it's like I thought he was canceled, you know, apparently not.
Do you think it'll do well domestically?
That's pretty good.
Well done, Bacon.
Well, that's about all the time we have for the podcast this
week,
guys.
That's it?
That is it.
That was so much fun.
Dad, I don't want to go to bed.
I think he's kicking us out, Brian. You know what that means. It's time for...
Sing us home.
Podcast Envy is a production of Bacon Wave Productions in cooperation with Revelry Media Productions. Follow us on Instagram at @PodcastRNV. Follow us on TikTok at podcast.envy. Follow, like, and subscribe to stay up to date on our latest episodes. Send us your feedback and more at podcastenvy.com.